We are going to go ahead and roll into our post-race press conference for tonight's Quaker State 400, available at Walmart here. We're going to open right up the questions for crew chief Alan Gustafson. We're going to start there with John and then work our way around.
John Newby, Savage Ventures, over here on your right. So just kind of a basic, how do you even describe what happened out there tonight with just everything that happened at the end of stage one, the start of stage two, and then just the slicing and dicing on the track?
Yeah, you could probably do a better job than me. I mean, it's just, there certainly was chaos there. And at stage one, it took out a lot of cars. I don't think I've ever seen, I can't think of a time that I've ever seen that many cars crash out. And the skid marks were insane over there. But yeah, after that, I think the race kind of calmed down. And yeah, we were in a good spot there with the last restart on the front row and lost some track position. And yeah, at the end, I think just some home cooking. Chase just, did an amazing job working traffic there. And I thought our car was really good with the runs that he would get on the bottom, so we could clear guys pretty well. We carry a lot of speed where some guys seem to get tight and kind of push a little bit up the track where we could wrap the bottom a little better. So yeah, and then certainly got to give a big thanks to Alex and his commitment and, helping us push through there and putting us in a position to win.
Okay, we'll go next to Jacob, then to Scotty, then to Doug.
Jacob Salmon, Race Face Digital. Alan, with all the chaos and just how it seemed like the runs were so crazy late in that race, is that one of those where, as a crew chief, you just sit there and go, if we win this, great, but it just felt like even watching in here, you're almost helpless in the lead until the last lap.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, it's just hard to get an advantage, and the runs off the top were so big. Guys, would kind of get tight and a little bit of a gap and then get these huge runs and big pushes. So timing was important, but it always is at a super speedway race. You just have to be in the right place at the right time and have the car to with enough, legs to make the run count and make it happen. So you can replay that race 100 times over, I'm sure, and you're going to get 100 different results. So, but that's the way it goes. And, fortunately for us, I think it was obvious that we had a good car and a good execution. Just we're up there enough that, when it all stopped, we were in the right seat.
How much was this needed? You guys have had the consistency top 20 in every race this year, but on a 44 race drought, how much was a win needed for this team?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I need it every week, so I don't know. I want to win, and there's a lot of circumstances that you sit there and say, man, should have won there. There's a lot of races that maybe we should even probably deserve to win more than this, but just sometimes it doesn't go your way. So, the points were getting tight for the playoffs for sure. I think that's probably the biggest thing. All the cars that were contending to win, I think I'm correct in saying that none of them had won. So I think that's probably the biggest thing we needed was to that cushion. But certainly, I haven't seen the points yet, but I'm assuming they look pretty good based on some of the guys right around us in front of us having a rough night. So it's hard to say, but you always want and need to win.
We're also joined by Jeff Andrews with the Hendrick Motorsports. Jeff, walk through the victory from your perspective tonight. Exciting race all around, but good to see the 9 car back in victory lane for you guys.
Oh, it's great to see that 9 car back in victory lane and Chase and Allen. These guys work so hard. I was telling somebody earlier that everybody goes through ups and downs in this sport, but I've never seen two guys work harder. Most importantly, two guys that believe in each other more, during those times. So certainly that paid off tonight, and we're really proud to get Chase and that 19 back in victory lane.
Okay, we're going to continue on. We're going to Scotty, Doug, Bob, and Wolfgang.
Sky Sprinkle, Race Face Digital. I got two for you, Alan. The first one, that was our 8th race on this new reconfiguration. I'm curious, as someone who's won this race, in the scorching hot daytime of the summer a few years ago, has the track kind of evolved at least similar to what you've kind of predicted it, and where do you see where do you think it'll be in the next couple years, and how did you set up the car for this with it being a night race?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's really difficult here because you don't really know what the surface is going to be like, and you know the races, the weather can be in stark contrast to each other. And it's hard. I can't really tell you that I know. I mean, I felt like we started off a bit further off than I would have expected, and you get no time on the track. Obviously, we don't practice. It's really hard to understand all the factors that go into it. Is it the sun? Is it the temperature? Is it Xfinity rubber? You know, is it what you brought with the car? You know, all these different things kind of factor in, so it's really, really tough. And really the first runs, and I know that, you know, Chase mentioned it on the air there with Dale, but the first runs have been historically really slick, and our car didn't drive very good to start. So that's not uncommon, but in the spring didn't have that problem, and I can't really tell you why, to be honest. So it's a tough one. I think it's tough. Talladega, you go and you don't practice, and it's okay, because I think it's just really not that difficult to get a car to drive good around there. But when you come to a place like this and you don't practice and have no idea, cold turkey qualify it, different conditions, different circumstances, it's tough to piece those pieces together and kind of make some logical sense out of it.
It seems like every Super Speedway race, the intensity picks up even more and more. There's a lot of chaos. You've got stage racing, so you got a lot of points aligned in the middle of the race. You got the playoffs looming, everyone needing to win. I'm curious, as a crew chief, is there times for Super Speedway races where you're having to guide Chase through, you know, like the mentality of, like, do we need to be aggressive here? Is it too much of a risk and things like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that most of the time he does a really good job understanding that on his own, and he knows when he needs to push and doesn't need to push. But there are certain times that it's tough for him to understand the 10,000 foot view and everything that's going on. It is, like you said, you know, I think that, you know, really the competition is so deep and the cars are so close. Everybody's so tight. Everybody feels like they have an opportunity to win, and a win can make or break your season in a lot of situations. So you see the intensity go through the roof. And at the end of the race here, you know, it was, started to get out of hand a little bit, and I think, you know, either we got lucky or guys made some good decisions, but it's certainly intense.
Next to Doug.
Hey, Doug Turnbull from PRN and WXIA. I wanted to ask you, Alan, the fuel mileage definitely seemed to play into the later parts of the race. Saw a lot of people shutting off the engines and a bank of cars going in to get gas. Were you at all ever worried about fuel there in the late stages, or were you good to go?
We were good. I mean, the only thing that was kind of iffy, there was the quick caution after the stage two, and we didn't pit. Some guys pit, which they couldn't make it from there, but they were obviously going to have a shorter pit stop. And then, you know, we wanted to really run longer to where tires would have been more of an advantage. New tires would have been more of an advantage, and we, you know, planned on pitting and felt like in that situation, we were going to do tires regardless, so absorbing the time for the fuel wasn't going to matter. And then the caution came out. You're really right on the window, I think 184 or something. I don't remember exactly, but it was pretty much dead on the window. So everybody who stopped there can make it. It was going to be fine.
We're going to go to Jordan next, then to Bob, then to Dustin.
Jordan Bianchi, the Athletic. A question for each of you. Alan, what was tire work? Was tire wear important tonight? Did it really matter? At different points, it looked like it mattered, and then sometimes it didn't look like it mattered.
Yeah, I don't think tire wear was important. You know, the tires did not wear out. But I do think having fresh tires gave you some opportunity to take some runs, to make some bigger moves at the bottom, to have the car drive a little bit better. So I think that decision there with the caution, you know, with 30 to go or 28 to go or whatever it was, that was a tough one, I think, because tires were going to be an advantage. And the problem is it's an advantage, really. It is an advantage, but it really helps you kind of get quickly to probably the third row back. It's really tough to crack those front two rows. I think you saw that with the 45. You know, he drove to that point really, you know, within a few laps. But I think the tires had some value for sure, and it just gave you a little bit opportunity to be a bit more aggressive and carry those runs a bit more and put pressure on guys, either to their outside or carry those runs on the inside.
And then Jeff, a couple things. One, when you see Chase make that big bold move there, you know, passing Alex and kind of going after Brad, you're watching this unfold, what's going through your mind at that moment?
First finish 1-2, that would be the desired result. But on that subject, I just got to say that we're probably not sitting here without Alex Bowman and the move he made there and the teammate that he was tonight. So just really proud of him and Blake for the car they had. But ultimately, when you have fast race cars like that, just kind of clear to us early on that we had a lot of speed in our cars, and you just want to be able to see that through. So at that point in time, you think to yourself, like, we got to finish this off. We have really good cars, and let's just figure out a way to finish this off and get out of here with a win, whoever it is.
And you mentioned what I want to ask you about too, is it looks like Alex has a really big run there, made a, I don't know, business decision, if you will, to not help the six. And you're watching this unfold. If he would have helped the six, or are you saying don't help the six, or what are you, when you see this unfolding, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I obviously he had a huge run and dove down inside of the six there, and made that work. And I think from my perspective, I'm thinking next, is he going to go after Chase, right? Does he have that big of a run to get to Chase and go after him? So, which you can't blame him for doing, given the situation that, both of these teams are in and need to win to get in the playoffs. But, tonight, teammates made the team work tonight, and we're super proud of that and just proud of the whole Hendrick Motorsports effort tonight.
Okay, we're going to go to Bob, then to Dustin, then to Charles, then Kelly.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Alan, at the end of the second stage, are you thinking, what more do we have to do to try to either win a stage or a race
this
year?
Get a playoff point? Is that what you're saying? Bob, of all people in here, why do you have to rub that in? Like, can we talk about happy things? No, yeah, I was like, really? But, yeah, I would have loved to got that one too, but it was super, super close. And, yeah. Maybe it worked out. We gave that one the 45, and we got the one that mattered.
And, I mean, I know all wins are big and all wins are huge, but is this one any bigger, or just because of the way it kind of developed and the winless streak and just,
To me, yes. It's this big for quite a few reasons for me. I mean, I think not really the winless streak that doesn't factor in. It's really cool for me to represent, the Children's Hospital of Atlanta and the thing that what Chase has got going on there and supporting those kids and that foundation and being able to generate some positive, financial, means and just inspiration and, positive energy, and to see the little girl that designed that car here with her family and enjoying all this. And, at the end of the day, we go around in circles, and I know it's entertainment and it's a big deal, but when you see things like that, you know that there's real problems in the world, and to do what we do, and if we can do it in a way that helps support and do some positive things, that is really gratifying for me. I think it's really gratifying for the team. That car means a lot, and we've really wanted to run really good in that paint out, and we've not. We've struggled at different times we've run it, so that was super significant for me. I knew coming in that's something that super proud of Chase for doing and showcasing and something that we wanted to do. We want to do some good and obviously his hometown and a lot that goes on with it. So it's just a really positive night. A lot of positive things done and I feel really good about that.
Dustin
Long, NBC Sports. First off, for Jeff, you've got three of your four cars now essentially locked into a playoff spot. Obviously, I know at Hendrick, it's about automatically getting in the playoffs and winning championships. Winning championships hadn't happened the last few years. What do you guys do to ensure the 48 gets into the playoffs with where it is in the points? Is there any more effort? I know there's a tremendous effort, obviously, with you guys, but what more goes into helping the 48 now for the next few weeks?
Yeah, obviously, that's our focus, as you said, is to get all four of our cars locked into playoffs. And, no secret that, those guys had a couple weeks of some, bad luck and some things that didn't go their way, and they slid down the standings, so it's nice to see them getting their momentum back and getting their feet under them. But, I can promise you they – they have and will continue to have, you know, the full force of Hendrick Motorsports resources to make their car and all our cars as good as they can. And, you know, on top of that, they got three great teammates, you know, for drivers. And I said this earlier today to somebody that personally myself, I have never seen the culture better than it is right now at Hendrick Motorsports, and the camaraderie between Alan and all of our crew chiefs and the way those guys are working together. We couldn't be more proud of that. And those are the kind of things that when you have a teammate that you know, like the 48 team and Blake and Alex that need to get that win and need to have some good finishes here to get themselves in position. I know these guys are going to be working really hard to help them achieve that.
And Alan, obviously your guys are racing against everybody, but you know, tonight the 54 car, Chris Gabehart was on the box and was on the radio with Ty and kind of coaching him and you know, serving as a strategist. So being back on the box, where I'm sure maybe you thought you didn't have to deal with Chris Gabehart anymore. I'm curious.
I like Chris.
Well, I'm curious, the sense that, again, I know you're competing against the entire field, but that somebody like Chris, the success that he's had and some of the things that he's been able to do to come back on the pit box, and it's right now it sounds like it's an open-ended thing, and they're trying to get the 54 in and doing everything to get that into the playoffs. That's somebody else that you're going to have to compete against. That somebody of Chris's caliber, not taken away from Tyler Allen, but Chris's caliber. What is that like to compete, in a sense, from a crew chief type of thing?
Yeah, I didn't know he was doing that, to be honest with you. It's I don't know Tyler enough to comment. I'm sure he's really good, and Chris is really good, and I know Ty is really a good driver. I know that there's a matter of time before that team, when they click it and they, you know, get to the point where they're have that confidence and things go their way, they're going to be really, really tough to compete with, you know, regardless of who's on the box. But like I mentioned, I have a lot of respect for Chris. I've raced Chris for a long time, and you know, there's guys that you work with in this garage that do things, you know, the right way and race really hard and give you everything they've got, but you know, I think are fair and respectful, and Chris is one of those guys. I have a huge amount of respect for him, I always have, and he's really good at what he does. So it's hard for me to say. I think that car, you know, is capable. I think they're capable of Tyler, I think they're capable of Chris, and I think, yeah, you know, Ty is certainly very capable.
Okay, we'll go next to Charles, then to Kelly, and then we'll wrap with Wolfgang.
Charles Odom with the Associated Press. This is for Alan. Based on, including the context of back-to-back top five finishes before tonight, what does this mean for the nine teams' status as a championship contender, and what was the key to getting him back to this point?
Getting them to victory lane. Yeah, I mean, I could talk through our whole season and recap it. And I think that a lot of times you look at the box score and you know, it looks much further off than it is. And I can think back through the races and certainly I thought we had a really good car at Michigan and we had some tough circumstances there. And you know, when the changers lug nuts fell off at the end of the race and I noticed it and I had Chase stop, and you know, by the time that all transpires, we're last, right? So you look at the box score and you finish 15th, and that's a ho-hum day, but I think we were way better than that. We had a, you know, really good opportunity to have a top five there and probably would have if we wouldn't have that last miscue on pit road. Certainly going to Mexico City was a lot of fun. I had a great time there, and, you know, that track was amazing. And the circumstances of that race was really enjoyable with the rain and everything that goes on with it. But long story short, I think that you know, we're capable to win really any week, and we've been a lot closer than it's probably looked, and I knew that, and I knew we were getting the pace in the car and the confidence, and the pit stops have really been lights out since we had our issue at Kansas. You know, speaking of races that I felt like we could have won, all the pieces were there, and you just have to kind of put yourself in position. You've got to be there. And if you're there enough, sooner or later, it's going to hit for you. And that was tonight, you know. So super happy with that. And Looking forward to Chicago. That's a race that I'd really love to win, and I think that's a really special race too. It's very unique and a lot of fun to run. I hope we don't race it in the rain for once, but yeah.
Next to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Alan, with what Daytona and Talladega has become with the seeming, you know, the gridlock, save fuel race versus what we now get here at Atlanta, is this a more anxious race now versus those other two, or does it feel different from atop the box of how you play this race out and how it feels watching it versus those other two?
I think for me, yeah, like you're mentioning, that the you know, the fine line you walk between track position and using fuel and you know, shortening the pit stop and all that, you know, takes away from the just, you know, all out racing and trying to generate a car advantage and a handling advantage or a, you know, power advantage or whatever it may be. And when you come here, all that stuff still exists, but having a good car, you know, that handles well, that can take runs, kind of trumps the other a little bit more than Daytona and Talladega, which I enjoy, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, we all want to, you know, we'll win the race however you have to, and we'll do whatever it takes if it's a strategy play or if it's whatever. But I think I know that I enjoy just, you know, just trying to win on pace, you know, and I think that here is, it's still more about that than it is the other, than, you know, the fuel strategy and you know, kind of shortening pit stops. So I enjoy that. And you know, I would like to see, you know, I wish Daytona was like it was in whatever, before they repaved it, you remember, 2008 or whenever it was, but you know, that rough a surface or wore out would be super fun, you know, because you wouldn't be able to do what you do. But at Talladega and Daytona, when everybody's packed up so tight, you just can't get an advantage. But yeah, to answer your question, it's a great question. I just feel like the car and the pace and the driver, obviously what Chase did, makes a little bit more of a difference here.
Go next to Wolfgang.
Wolfgang Munzer from Germany, Rennsport Press Agency. Two questions for you, Alan. First of all, congratulations. Shortly after the race, we had this interruption with this light rain. Did you do any adjustments during the interruptions to Chase's car?
No. No, you're talking about the radio delay earlier in the race?
Yeah.
No, and we weren't allowed to, so no adjustments to the car then, and I think the track really didn't change from our perspective after the rain. You know, sometimes the rain and or the jet dryers out there will give the surface a little bit different amount of grip, and the car balance will change, but it all stayed pretty similar for us.
Okay, and the second question, maybe I'm wrong, but I had the impression just watching the race here on television that the car really came to life from lap 66, 65 onwards, shortly before this terrible accident. Did you play it the first 60 laps conservative and then went for it?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's early in the race, our car was a bit free. He just had a hard time kind of trusting the back of the car, and it was hard for him to run the top. We could run the bottom really good, but we're just a bit too free up top. So, you know, we chose to pit on that 40-ish. I don't remember exactly when that caution was. And we were able to adjust the car. And then the biggest thing I think is with the adjustment, and then we got, you know, really good track position. And when we got really good track position, yeah, that makes everything better. Your car drives better and more on the track. And from then on, with a thin field, I thought, yeah, well, I did feel like, obviously I'm looking through rose colored glasses, but I thought our car was the best car after the crash. And I thought we just had to, keep putting him in position and, you know, hopefully he could time it out right. And he did. I do. Yeah, I think the adjustment helped. I would say equal parts adjustment and track position. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, congratulations again on the triumph, and good luck next week on the streets of Chicago.
Yeah,
thank you.